as I've studied and as I prepared, just what's real interesting is because we, Teresa and I have had this conversation, whereas the first three ones that we looked at, love, joy, and peace, in many ways are this internal attitude and kind of mindset and approach to life and all of that. And we'd like to think that it is clearly evident in us, that people see us to be more loving and joyful and peace. But really also, it's hard because some of us are just not that expressive. And maybe it comes in very subtle ways, but we know that we have a loving attitude and a joyful outlook, and we have this peace that God has given to us, even if it doesn't show on the surface sometimes. But when it comes to these next three of patience, and today kindness, and next week goodness, these are the ones that I think ought to be clearly evident as a demonstration of the reality of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The fruit that is on the branch that people can see, touch, grab a hold of, and experience because of their interaction with us. And so, as I was saying at the communion table, that the greatest act of kindness was God sending His Son Jesus to die on a cross to reconcile us in a relationship with Him, is an amazing action, demonstration of that internal quality of kindness that God has. And so we're going to look at that, but I was thinking in terms of this phrase of the random acts of kindness, and that's why I've crafted the sermon this week and thought through what should I entitle it, I wanted to add this sense of removing the randomness and being more care-filled or full of care and love and concern, because ultimately kindness is a loving act. But that phrase, random acts of kindness, came from an author, Ann Herbert, and she was working this phrase, practicing random kindness and senseless acts of beauty. She wrote a book back in 82 or 90s, and it was a play off of the term of random acts of violence and senseless acts of cruelty. And so she turned that upside down and coined this phrase that has spawned a lot of organizations and people wanting to just do things randomly as again an act of kindness. And that, not that there's anything wrong with that, because I was looking at some of the organizations that are out there, and they're doing some marvelous things, some amazing things. But my premise this week is this, that for us as Christians, there shouldn't be anything random about it. There should be something a little bit more intentional, something a little bit more care-filled, more loving, and remove the, oh, well, maybe I will stumble upon an opportunity to show kindness, take the randomness out of it, and be more mindful of it, more thoughtful, more intentional in that. And so that was my thought with this, that there needs to be action required, and I should not just let it happen by chance, but that my kindness shows because of the reality of God in my life, and not just because I stumbled upon a chance to show that, but because I am thinking about it, I am looking for it, and I'm going to act when it shows, not just because I find myself in that situation. So ultimately, this fruit that we're talking about, we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, and you can see this week we are focusing in on kindness. Do people see God in us? I mean, is that the question? That's the question I think that we ought to be considering, is do people really see Christ in me? Do people see this quality in me that reflects godliness? That's ultimately what we're looking at. So we're going to look at kindness, and there's some words there looking at the original language. The first one in the Greek is Christotes, and it talks about being useful, pleasant, gracious. The Hebrew equivalent is chesed, which is favor, good deeds, and mercy. And so those are the things. And so this definition that I've pulled from different places, this idea of being, the quality of being friendly and generous and considerate, a loyal love which manifests itself in our actions. This is what we're talking about when we're talking about kindness. It's not just simply this internal quality that hopefully people see, but because it is manifest in our actions, this friendliness, this generousness, this considerateness, all of this will be seen because we are doing something about it. And not by happenstance, but by intent and with purpose. But what does God's kindness look like? We were talking about the communion table, and that is one of the aspects of God's kindness manifest in Jesus Christ. And so obviously, if we are to reflect Christ's likeness, if that is to be evident of the Holy Spirit in our lives, then what does God's divine kindness look like? A couple things that I was thinking about when I was looking through Scripture. First of all, it's impartial. God's kindness is impartial. He doesn't pick and choose to whom he's going to be kind. God is kind because it is part of his character. It is part of his nature. It is who he is. And so it is going to bear out in his actions towards everyone. Now, obviously, we see from Psalm 103, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. So for the followers, for the believers, for those who call upon God as their Lord and Savior and have that relationship with him, clearly God's loving kindness is going to be evident in the life of a believer. That makes sense. If you are going to be one of his followers, for God to show his kindness towards them, you know, most people would agree that that is something that clearly, okay, I get that. But I'm saying that God is impartial because God's kindness is not only exclusively for those who know him, those who have a relationship with him. God's kindness extends regardless of whether or not we have chosen to accept him as part of our lives, as Lord and Savior. In Luke chapter 6, talking about this section here, Jesus is talking about loving your enemies. He says, love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, as your reward will be great. And here's the thing, you'll be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Jesus is reminding his disciples, in this relationship with those that you consider your enemies, those that are hurtful to you, those that maybe it's easier to ignore and walk away and keep some distance, he's like, love them anyway. Continue to be the person that God's created you to be. Do good. Don't expect anything in return because maybe they're not capable or willing to respond in kind. And if you do that, you're going to be doing just like your Heavenly Father, because this is a quality of our Heavenly Father. He's kind whether they're grateful or not. He's kind whether they're good or not, if they're evil. And so it gives us a little insight that God looks at all of us, human beings, the sinful, the hurtful, the ungrateful. He sees us all the same. And in so doing, his kindness extends to one and all. This is the divine kindness that we would hope is evident in our lives. The problem is we know we have relationships with people, and there are some people that are hard to get along with. I've described them as kind of porcupine type people. You know, they've got quills, and it's hard to hug them. It's hard to love them. It's hard to get close to them because every once in a while those quills come up and they get really prickly. And to get close, to get near, hurts a little bit. But God loves even the porcupine type folks, because the truth of the matter is sometimes we're porcupine kind of people. We're not easily approachable. We're not easily huggable. We're not easily, to get along with. And God still shows his kindness to us. And so if we're to reflect divine kindness, one of the things is just the idea of being a little bit more impartial and not, you know, just only for those that are kind to us, only for those that respond similarly, only those that are receptive. But if there is an opportunity, if we are going to be more careful in our kindness and not so random, then maybe this quality of impartiality could be evident in us. Another thing of divine kindness is that God's kindness is eternal. Now, this is one that's difficult for us to embody. Obviously, we are finite on this earth. We have an eternal soul that will be in God's presence forever as followers of Christ. But God's kindness doesn't have a beginning, doesn't have an end. And for one who is a recipient of that kindness, that's incredibly comforting and encouraging. And hopefully it is for you too. The Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. His faithfulness to all generations. In Isaiah it says, in an outburst of anger, I hid my face from you for a moment. But with everlasting kindness, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. I am thrilled with the idea and the concept that God's kindness, his loving kindness, has no termination date. No expiration date. I don't have to throw it out at the end, or I have reached the end of his ability to show and to demonstrate that love and kindness to me. No matter how much of a porcupine I might be, no matter how difficult I might be, no matter how ungrateful I might be, God's loving kindness is everlasting. It's eternal. It is complete. It is infinite. Regardless of how I react and respond to him. And as I said, for us as his followers, this is difficult to embody because of the finiteness of our being. But at the same time, it's like when Jesus says to forgive 70 times 7 or 77 times or 70 times 7, whatever it might be. The principle is this. Don't set a limit on how you can be kind to others. Yes, people are trying and difficult. And yes, it is a challenge and it could be a struggle. But if we're talking about the kindness that leads to repentance, which we'll look at here in a moment, maybe if we are embodying that in a way that maybe it's not so much it's eternal, but it's certainly going to be there regardless of how people respond. It will demonstrate for others the kind of love and kindness that God has and shown for us. Because here's the thing, God's divine kindness is beneficial to us. As I said in Psalm 63:3, in this Psalm, David is being chased and he's in the wilderness because his son Absalom is trying to take over the kingdom. And in Psalm 63, David is hiding out and bottom line is like, no, your loving kindness. You know, I might die here. I might lose my life. I am my soul is thirsty, God. But your loving kindness is better than this particular life. I am a beneficiary of your great, eternal, everlasting, impartial loving kindness. And you know what? I'm relishing in that. And I will worship you. I will praise you. Because it's better than what life has right now. It's better than anything I can imagine. I have at least this. And for us as followers of Jesus Christ, we benefit from God's loving kindness as well. And we can be agents of that love and kindness to the others where it is a benefit to them. Because God's loving kindness, the psalmist says, it is so much better. It's so much better than I could possibly imagine to fully experience God's loving kindness, to recognize it and to bask in it is better than anything else. And then in Romans, I referred to this earlier. It's like, do you show contempt for the riches of kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? Many of us are probably followers of Jesus Christ because God's love and kindness was shown to us in some way. Maybe it was through a fellow believer, a brother or sister, someone who took some time with us, someone who at least maybe took the time to explain the truth of the gospel with us. And we see that. We see God's love and kindness manifest in that person's life. It drew us into a relationship with Him, into a place of where we're responding in faith. And we recognize our sinfulness, and we turn from that, and we repent of that, and we turn towards a relationship and to follow God. That is a huge benefit that we have. And here's the thing, can we embody this divine kindness in us so that we, that God's kindness is beneficial to others? Absolutely. Like I said, where they maybe are seeing glimpses of how God is showing and demonstrating His love for them, His kindness to them, in a way that it causes them to move from being simply curious and being willing to be committed as followers of Jesus Christ. See, this is the divine kindness. This is some of the things that I see in Scripture that we can start to bring into our lives. But when it comes to, okay, what is the practical sense of that? How does that actually look? A couple things here. Have you ever had a squeaky door frame, a door hinge? You know, before we had WD-40, there was something called oil cans, something along the lines of this. It's just something that you can use to, let's see, I'm having trouble here with my computer keeps turning off and losing my pages. So this oil can that you would use on this, and there's this story of this old man who carried a little oil can like this. And as he went everywhere, he passed through the door that squeaked, he just put a little bit of oil on the hinge there so that it would you know, be able to move more freely. If there was a gate that was hard to open, he would hit it with the oil as well. If there was a latch that needed lubricating, he would do that. All of this to make it easier for those who came after him to be able to open the door, move a latch, whatever. People saw this and they were thinking, this guy is just a little bit off, a little bit weird. He's always doing this. And maybe they thought him as cranky or odd or just eccentric. Maybe even throwing some real derogatory names at him. But the old man went steadily on and refilling his can whenever it would be empty and oiling the hard places that he found. And he didn't wait. And here's the key. He didn't wait until he found a creaky door or a rusty hinge. Then go home and try to find his oil can and come back to it. No, he carried his oil can with him all the time. See, there are lives that are creaky, you know, like some of the porcupines we were talking about, and that grate harshly on us day by day. They need lubricating with this oil of kindness, gentleness, thoughtfulness. That can of oil is predominantly one that characterizes us as Christians. The task of it, using it, belongs to us as followers of Jesus Christ. But here's the key. We need to keep our Christian kindness handy, because it does no good if we just keep it in our homes, keep it here at church. We're only kind at church. We're only kind with our families. Like this old man who would carry this oil can with him everywhere he went. As weird and as eccentric and as odd as that is, the thing for us is that we ought to be showing and demonstrating and carrying this kindness with us at all times. So human kindness needs to be intentional. Put on Colossians 3:12. Just put on all of these things of God's chosen people, kindness, this compassion, this love. We need to be intentional about putting on. Micah 6:8, he says, I've told you. He has told you, old man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Again, it's not about something that just randomly happens, but it's about us intentionally showing and demonstrating to the point where we're carrying a crazy oil can with us, ready to oil with kindness the squeaky porcupine lives of those that we come across or the situations that are there, demonstrating that because we're ready, we're at the ready, we're prepared, we're intentional. The second thing I think we need to do is being more thoughtful. In 2 Samuel 9, David says this, is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? At this point, David is king. And David, Saul and Jonathan, Saul's son, have both been killed in battle. And David, the practice at the time was, if there was a new ruler, they would go and they would look at the former ruler's families, and basically, if there's any children, they'd put them to death, because they didn't want them rising up and trying to take back the throne. And David's like, is there anyone else left from the house of Saul that I can show kindness? Because if you remember David and his relationship, his friendship with Saul's son Jonathan, I mean, they were tight as brothers. And David, just in his thoughtfulness, I want to show this kindness. I don't want to be like all the other rulers of the world. I want to demonstrate God's love and kindness to my friend's family. Is there anyone left? And his advisor said, well, yeah, there's Mephibosheth. I'm butchering his name. Mephibosheth. And he says, yeah, Jonathan's son. And at the very end of chapter 39, verse 13 says, Mephibosheth, you guys say it, whatever, lived in Jerusalem for he ate always at the king's table. Now he was lame in both his feet. They found Jonathan's son, said, here, he's still around. And David said, bring him in. Make him a part of my family. Make him a part of my household. I want to show this love. I want to be intentional. And I want everyone to know that I'm not going to be like everyone else, because I am a follower of God. And this son who was crippled, had some physical struggles. And even in that time, you know, that alone, the fact that he was still around and not, you know, put to death because of his physical limitations is already an anomaly. And even more so for David to say, I'm going to show kindness to this one. Be thoughtful in that. You know, we can be thoughtful in so many different ways, thinking through maybe being more patient, more kind in some ways. How can we show thoughtfulness going that extra mile? Because our last thing is sacrificial. And we know this, the story of the Good Samaritan, the parable that Jesus shares there. And it says that he bound up the wounds, pouring oil and wine on. He set him on his own donkey, his own animal, took him to the inn, took care of him. And he gives the innkeeper some money and says, if this isn't enough, I'll come back and pay more. He went the extra mile. He showed a sacrificial heart and sacrificial spirit. And sometimes we put a limit to our kindness. We're not eternal. Yes, we're not infinite. But we do kind of sometimes put limits on our ability and our willingness to show kindness. And I would submit to you that if we are going to show and to demonstrate this divine kindness in us, that yes, we need to be intentional and we need to be thoughtful about it. But here's the hard part. Sometimes we need to be a little bit more sacrificial and go that extra mile and go out of our way for the ones who maybe need it the most. I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know if that means having to be a little bit more inconvenienced. Maybe it is physically giving up something. Maybe the extra room or the extra car or maybe a little bit of extra funding or whatever. Maybe it is not being able to do the things that you want to do right then and there because someone else needs that. Whatever the sacrifice might be, can we be more sacrificial in our demonstration of this kindness? In everything we do, 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, we show that we're true ministers of God. We prove ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, and our kindness by the Holy Spirit within us. This is one of the ways that people will see and look at our lives and think, there's something different about that friend of mine. Their actions, their kindness. What is it about them that sets them apart from this group of friends or this group of coworkers or these other guys in my class? Our kindness shows to others, shows to ourselves, and reminds us that we are children of the King. Mark Twain says this, kindness is the language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see. It speaks to the heart of people in ways that maybe our words can't, because actions do speak louder than words sometimes. And I think if we keep that in mind, it'll enable us to be, enable us to for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be evident in our lives. So some takeaways here. Just to remember that remember the kindness of God towards you. Remember his sacrifice on the cross sending Jesus to die for us. Remember all that God has done for you, the actions that God has taken on your behalf that you might have a relationship with Him, that you've experienced the loving kindness of our God. Let that be the foundation with which you then are in a position and poised to act and to respond and to show the kindness. And so here's the other thing. Consider specifically to whom I can be more intentional, thoughtful, and sacrificial as I carry my oil of can of kindness around. I mean, who are those people in your life that maybe are a little bit creaky and a little bit squeaky and a little bit porcupine-like? Who are those that I can be more intentional and thoughtful and sacrificial and kind of hitting them with that oil of kindness that smooths things over, that demonstrates to them and to one and all that I am a follower, I am a child of the King. Because of what He's done for me, loving God, I can love others. Because of God's kindness to me, I can be kind to others as well. The team's going to come back up and we're going to sing just the chorus of that song, Kindness, as our closing and as our benediction this morning. So let me pray and then we'll stand and we'll sing together. Father, thank You for what You've done.